I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here 2 hours a day, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, and I'm going to challenge you on some of that today, I believe. Today's Friday. Next hour, we will take a look at the foreign policy fails of the United States and False Flag Friday, and then we will finish up, as we always do, with This Week on the Crazy Train as we document the world's descent into utter madness. I've got more notes today, probably, than most any other day I've been on the show. I don't know if I'll be able to get to everything or if I'll sail through it. We'll see. Lots to look at today. Start with my quotes of the day. George Orwell said, I think this is a repeat, but it kind of hit along with what we've got going on here. George Orwell said, all tyrannies rule through fraud and force, but once the fraud is exposed, they must rely exclusively on force. We may be on the lookout for that, because obviously, you'll see through the news today, the fraud is being exposed. Economically, we'll discuss first. Medically, we'll discuss second today on the show. And this was I'm always fascinated by quotes of people from times long gone past. And this is actually from Plato. Just to show you there's, what's the saying? There's nothing new under the sun. History may not repeat, but it rhymes. People, I guess, just do not change. You would think during periods of human evolution, in terms of knowledge, the internet being one where we now have at our fingertips the access to all knowledge ever accumulated throughout time, and yet we appear to be dumber. Speaking of that, I can take a side note here and do a public service announcement. Over-the-air radio reaches a lot of people in their cars. That's where they're probably most listening, in and out of their cars, are most of the comments I get on my show when I get an email. MikeMadison@WYEB.com, should you want to email me. So if I'm reaching people in their cars, if you are driving in the left lane on an interstate and people are passing you on the right, you are in the wrong. I don't know if it's the masks that have starved us of oxygen. I seem to have noticed since COVID, really, people seem to be worse drivers. And that's saying a lot. There's some pretty bad drivers out there. But boy, it just struck me this morning, so many people cruising nice and leisurely pace in the left-hand lane, people passing them on the right, and they are completely oblivious. I was tempted to give a one-finger salute to some of these people because it's just after the fourth or fifth one today coming down the interstates. If you are in the left lane and people are passing you on the right, you are in the wrong. Move over. Get in the right lane. There's my public service announcement for the day. But just to show that people have not really changed, this is a quote from Plato. I should have looked up when Plato lived. Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses. I don't know if Plato had a talk radio show or not. We know he put out a lot of work. He wrote a lot of stuff. He tried to communicate his thoughts as a philosopher. And I guess he just realized, oh, it's pearls before swine with these people. They just will not catch a clue. So from Plato's time up to and including today, those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses. And this may be why we are in such a mess that we are right now. The masses, unfortunately. Unfortunately, in this air quotes here in the studio, democracy, constitutional republic, it's still, we're all at the whims of the masses. This is why I say I love individuals and I loathe society. On the economic news today, I had a stack of headlines. I had to parse out this first one. First headline, White House insists economy strong as allies grow uneasy about the Fed. There are a couple of interesting things in this story. This was on MSN.com, but I didn't attribute who wrote the original piece. President Biden and his top advisors insist the U.S. economy remains strong, even as it shows new signs of weakening, and the White House's own allies express unease about the government's response to rising prices. As inflation soared over the last year, Biden and his senior aides repeatedly made clear that they were confident that the Federal Reserve could tame rising prices with higher interest rates and other monetary policy tools. But with Fed, and here's where it gets fun, but with Fed Chair Jerome Powell moving aggressively, the White House now faces the prospect that these efforts will prove too much and instead tip the economy into a recession. They are facing the prospect, and you understand a prospect is, you know, a potentiality. Maybe, you know, if the Fed keeps doing what they're doing, there's a possibility it might tip us in. We're in a recession. We've been in it now for 6 months. On Thursday, the Bureau of Economic Analysts reported that growth had contracted for a second consecutive quarter, while business investment and consumer spending fell significantly. Unemployment claims have risen in recent weeks, suggesting new cracks are emerging in the labor market, and the latest inflation report this month showed prices climbed in June by 9.1% over the past year. We're in a recession. There's not a prospect of a recession. They may not possibly, in the future, if the Fed raises rates, possibly, maybe, potentially tip us into a recession. We've been in a recession for 6 months. The story went on to say the dual threat posed by an economy that is slowing markedly and also grappling with sky-high prices has fractured the administration's allies, with liberal and centrist Democrats increasingly at odds over whether the White House should be alarmed by the Federal Reserve's actions. And this will be an interesting thing to see, the finger-pointing. Now, I've told you the Federal Reserve is the Death Star. There is no warfare state. There is no welfare state. Most of our problems go away without the central bank printing unlimited amounts of money that has eroded the middle class for the past 50 years. But for Congress to pretend that it's not them, it's the others. Jameson sent out a video last night. It was impressive. Apparently, Congress has some kind of a baseball game. I guess they played this at the Nationals Stadium. And one of the Republican Congress critters hit a dinger and hit a home run in a major league park. Pretty impressive. It's probably a pretty fun thing to be able to brag about. But I was listening to the commentary behind it, and they were saying, oh, that was interesting because apparently the cameras were trained on the fact that Joe Biden was over on the Republican side, you know, slapping hands with them. They're all out there in their baseball uniforms, probably taxpayer paid for. So they can go out and have a fun little game. The guy hits a dinger and takes the spotlight off of Biden while he's over. I mean, I got to tell you, this just washed all over me with rage. And that's probably not healthy. I mean, they are human beings. You know, maybe they deserve a little downtime, have a little fun. It was just an orgy of politicians out there just enjoying themselves while people are out here suffering. It's just something about that I cannot get over. My contempt for the political class knows no bounds. Neshoba County Fair, I saw some footage from Neshoba County. And I know there's some politicians here in Mississippi that are pretty popular with people, and you just swoon and you take selfies with them and all that stuff. I got to tell you, they just make my skin crawl. I so desperately want to be left alone and not have these people that I do not find in any way inspirational or exceptional to be making rules, deciding how much taxes you should pay, what kind of regulation should be on businesses. I'm just so unimpressed with the entire lot of them from the local to the state to the federal level. About 98% of them really just kind of make my skin crawl. I was watching this baseball game. Being impressed by the home run was quickly muted by my just disgust for the political class out there. Just playing a game, having a little bit of fun, recapturing their youth, trotting, you know. Sorry to go on that thing. Let me finish my story here. Senator Elizabeth Warren And many left-leaning economists fear the Fed's rate hikes could lead to job losses and that reverse gains made under the Biden administration, while others say the White House has to step back and let the Fed take drastic measures to reduce red-hot inflation. What's interesting about this, I read a quote from Elizabeth Warren. She put out an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on how to tame inflation. A lot of her points, she's very Trumpian. She and Trump agree on a lot of things. Trump wanted to print up money to create jobs, and Elizabeth Warren wants to print up money to create jobs. They believe, both Trump and Elizabeth Warren, both believe if you turn off the printing presses and stop printing money, that the economy might slow down, make the stock market look bad, cost Americans jobs, fake jobs that were created out of debt. Just interesting to me that they share that philosophy. Other headlines were How the Other Half Lives, Luxury Companies Thrive, and then this fun one, $2,245.62 a second. Exxon scores enormous profit. It almost makes you wonder, are Biden and the Democrats actually working with the oil companies? Now, understand, this has been a big grift before. There's lots of evidence that places like... I'm trying to think of some of the people that you would think would be natural enemies, but you find out really they're working together. A lot of companies love to have regulations put on them. They protest them. They act like they don't want them. But essentially they know that they can afford them and do well, and it will keep competitors out. And it's funny, the American people will kind of carry water for industries saying, quit regulating oil and gas, or quit regulating this, or quit regulating that. And the oil and gas companies go, yeah, look how badly they're coming after us, but we don't really pay attention to the other side. They're making record profits. Exxon had net income of $17.9 billion, surpassing their previous record set in 2008. Their earnings per share was $4.14, beating the estimate of $3.98, and about four times more than the $1.10 a year ago. Operating cash flow in the second quarter was a record $20 billion. Free cash flow in the first half of 2022 has more than doubled year over year to $27.7 billion. Now, I do believe that the Biden administration and the Democrats are stupid enough to create policies inadvertently to make the oil companies wealthier than they've ever been. But I got to tell you, it just seems like the same people keep winning, and I find it hard to ascribe that just to incompetence. It feels a little bit like a plan. And, of course, there's this one. Pfizer record high sales thanks to the vaccine and Paxlovid. I don't know which one they call it. Of course, they've got record high sales. You've got the government, I believe. I heard on the news break earlier today, the Biden administration had recently ordered 100 million boosters from Pfizer not that long ago. That's $2 billion. And I heard a new round of 66 million doses of the Moderna booster order for that has been placed as well. That's a quick $1.3 billion for Moderna. You got to admire their timing. I mean, this is the first product they've ever put out. They've never had a product approved or put out into the market. Moderna, this is their first go. I mean, you want to talk about a home run on the first pitch at bat. How lucky was Moderna? And at this point, I'm wondering, do they even make these shots? Because we know that tons of them are ending up in the garbage cans. They tell us this. And it is only the most ravaged by fear, the biggest hypochondriacs amongst us that are going out and getting these boosters. Most of them are hitting the garbage can. And I'm really just wondering, are they even having to make these things? Would anybody be surprised if the federal government was just sending $2 billion to Pfizer and they were just taking the check and pretending that they were delivering these shots? Because nobody's taking them. Not nobody, you know what I'm saying. Some of the hypochondriacs are out there still on the vaccine treadmill. But that is between the 2 $1 billion for Pfizer just in the past couple of weeks, the $1.3 billion for Moderna. There's $3.3 billion to Big Pharma for a product that nobody wants. And the people who do want it, you would think if they believe that it's going to save their life, that they would probably come off $20 out of pocket. But instead, the U.S. taxpayer is still on the hook for that stuff. More on that in a little while. We are so helpless. I mean, it is unbelievable how helplessly we sit by and watch Congress spend money. There's been a new spending bill put out there, and we're going to listen to Joe Biden talk about it. It's their inflation fighting bill, whatever ridiculous name. You understand that it, just like the Patriot Act, was one of the most unpatriotic things to ever be passed. The names of these bills are usually the exact opposite of what they are, and this is an inflation fighting bill, and it will do exactly the opposite. Before I get to that, though, I'm going to do a little bit of good news. Somebody in the EU, they've got a real hero over there. We're going to play some speech for that, and then we've got a Congress critter here who is actually putting out a call that we can probably agree with. And one community, or a few communities, actually have exercised some power and stopped some of this insanity in its tracks. We'll do that and then get to the spending bill when we get back. Stick around.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do.
I went into a dry cleaner this morning, 2022, July 2022. I went into a dry cleaner this morning, and on both of their automatic doors that open up, it says, the sign says, unless you are fully vaccinated, you're required to wear a mask. Now, I know a lot of businesses are just too lazy to take this stuff down, but they're, you know, business owners can get blind spots. You know, if something stays on the wall for a long time, it just, you don't even see it anymore. It was the same thing with our homes. But, I mean, come on. These signs looked a little fresh, to be honest with you. I found this especially funny. There's a million reasons that's funny. Number one, the vaccines make absolutely no difference to contracting or spreading this disease. So what the hell difference does that make? The masks don't work. To add insult to injury. But have you ever done any research on the chemicals used in dry cleanings? If the employees are worried about a summer cold walking in the front door while they bathe in dry cleaning chemicals all day long, I got to tell you that they may be focused on the wrong thing. But as we will finish the show today, the world has descended into utter madness. So that's just a part of it. Out in California, there's signs of life. The L.A. County tried to impose an indoor mask mandate because they've gone over 10 hospitalizations per 100,000 people, supposedly from COVID. Now, we know that these are people who are in the hospital with COVID. But anyway, they tried to impose a mask mandate, and several of the cities actually stood up. Long Beach, Pasadena, El Segundo, and Beverly Hills all said, nah, no, we're not doing that. So signs of life and sanity from even some towns out in California. I wanted to play these clips just to show you there are some people out there. There are some brave people out there in the world that are speaking truth and doing it in a very direct manner. Even with our own Congress here, as much as I've enjoyed Rand Paul facing off with Anthony Fauci and pointing out the ridiculousness of what Anthony Fauci poses as science, but we just do not have the authoritative people coming out and just saying straight out what a catastrophe this program of shots experiment on the population of the world, mostly in the Western countries. Nobody will just come out and call it what it is, which is just a crime. This is in the EU. We got to go over and find a German member of the European Parliament. Her name is Christine Anderson. Doesn't have any bearing on us, but she's just so dang inspirational. I've played several clips from her before. And boy, I wish we had somebody like this somewhere here in the United States.
This vaccine campaign, it will go down as the biggest scandal in medical history. And moreover, it will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity. That is actually what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I can't argue with that a bit. Thank goodness we got this crime against humanity at warp speed. It's not his fault. He got duped. She went on.
I will just say this. I mean, what in God's name have they done with this? It is absolutely, it's actually unbelievable.
But man, I just, one of the reasons I like this clip, I run into this here. It's almost hard to describe what you're seeing. You just fumble for words. The magnitude of what is taking place right now is lost on us. We talk about a lot of different things. You know, I compared this to, you know, I think for a while people were like, well, can you stop talking about the shots? I mean, stop talking about COVID. This is when the news was first coming out. We were seeing the VAERS numbers just soar. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System was just showing tens and hundreds of thousands of injuries. Now it's well over a million injuries, tens of thousands of hospitalizations, tens of thousands of death, and we know this is unreported. And I think there was a point at which people were saying, let's talk about something else. And the point I made was, I said, if there was a sniper on the side of I-55 that was just occasionally picking off people, not everybody, they weren't spraying it, but, you know, I mean, every day, maybe one motorist was killed by this sniper. I mean, you know, 100,000 cars went by. Only one person was murdered. Can we just stop talking about it? And can the police just move on? I mean, there's other crimes being committed. Do we really? And I said, how do you not pay attention to this thing that is causing death and destruction every single day? We're supposed to just, it's boring, but it's still taking place. I don't know if there were talk show hosts back in 1930s Germany, but did they just go, okay, we get it. They're gassing a bunch of Jews. We get it. They're killing all the gypsies. We get it. We get it. Can't we talk about something else? I heard Goering had a sex party last night. It's been a big scandal up there. Can we talk? You know what I mean? It's just, and I feel this woman's frustration. It's happening right now. As we speak. People are dying and being, there's miscarriages taking place. We're losing babies. Now we're unleashing this thing on toddlers. I have a friend who got one of these shots, and yesterday she sent me a selfie. She goes, look what I've got now. It's a new heart monitor. She's never had heart problems before. I talked about it a few weeks ago. She left the gym. She couldn't control her blood pressure. Now they got her on a heart monitor just to check her out, you know, see everything's okay. We're supposed to just not pay attention to this. I mean, this is hard to put into words. I know you can talk about anything to death, and maybe I could be accused of that. Federal Reserve, vaccines, war machine, drug war. There's a lot of things I kind of repeat on this airwaves, but this is a biggie. This is a pretty big thing because it's the largest experiment ever performed on mankind, and it's not going well. If the thing worked, you know, if COVID was really deadly, let's make a couple of us. The only way that any of this stuff could be possibly even just if COVID was Ebola, which it wasn't, and these shots actually fixed the problem, then there's an argument that could possibly be made. We've saved millions of people, tens of thousands died. Feels like a trade-off. I still believe. It's a crime against humanity to not fess up, for a doctor to not go, now you do understand this is experimental, right? We've never used this technology. These shots have no long-term safety testing. But we've got an Ebola-like virus out there, so you might want to take this thing. I could at least understand that. COVID was not Ebola. If you're under 70 years old, it's just a minimal threat. If you're under 50, it's basically no threat. Well, unless you've been shoving garbage in your pie hole for the last 30 years and I'm supposed to alter my life because you haven't paid attention to your health for 30 years, left yourself very vulnerable to any disease, and now I'm supposed to wear a mask and stay 6 feet away from everybody until the dangerous past. I don't understand that either. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to start this clip over because this clip is long. I'm not going to be able to play the whole thing because now I've just gone off on a rant. But this is how I feel. It's just one of these things where how do you even put this into words, what we are seeing right now?
I will just say this. I mean, what in God's name have they done with this? It is absolutely, it's actually unbelievable. And what I'm going to say now, I will say to each and every elected representative of the people in every Western democracy, I am asking you, what have you done? You didn't do your job. And do not tell me you didn't know, because anyone could have known. And if you have bothered enough to care about the people, if you had bothered enough to do your job, you should have known. And moreover, it is your damn job to know. It is your job to protect the people that you were elected by and that your job is to represent.
Now, of course, she's not talking about Trump. He's completely blameless in this thing. He was duped, Mike. He's still taking credit for Operation Warp Speed and trying to convince people to take boosters and jabs and tell you that it was the greatest achievement in all of mankind. But it's not him. It's the rest of them, right?
Once again, I'm asking, what have you done? Ladies and gentlemen, there is so much coming to light. All of the adverse side effects. There is numerous studies now available on fetal disfigurements. There is genetic defects from babies born to women that got vaccinated. What in the hell is going on here? And I do not, who is the beneficiary of all this? Well, I do know it's the pharmaceutical companies, of course. But once again, we as the elected representatives, we need to do our jobs. And I'm really glad that there is MEPs here today. I can only say we will do whatever it takes to bring all of this to light and to make sure that the rights of the people will be protected once again.
So in a completely topsy-turvy world, we actually have Russia, the former Soviet Union, the Vladimir Putin in Russia warning the world about totalitarianism. And we've got a German member of parliament warning us about violations against human rights, crimes against humanity. The world has come full circle. I'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. They reiterated the story in the news break there that we've ordered 66 million doses of Moderna boosters. I actually looked it up during the break to see if it was actually 66.6 billion. Just feels like maybe that's something that they would do. 66.6. I guess I'll play this to give one of our people in Congress a little bit of credit. Ron Johnson has been talking about adverse events. He is the Republican from Wisconsin, Senator. And he is putting out another call. Thomas Massie did this exact same thing last week.
If you are a whistleblower in the Department of Justice, the FBI, please come forward. If you want to restore integrity and credibility to your agencies, come forward and tell Congress so the American people understand the truth. I would also make that appeal to people working in our federal health agencies. Our response to COVID has been a miserable failure, largely because our health agency has not been transparent. I've written 43 oversight letters to the agencies, where I've gotten responses, they're non-responsive responses. Generally, I don't even get answers. This lack of transparency must end. We must restore congressional oversight because the American people deserve the truth. You know, every one of these confirmed secretaries or agency heads come before Congress, they raise their hand, and they swear that they will comply with legitimate congressional oversight, and then they don't.
Huh.
This has to end. The American people deserve transparency. They deserve honesty. They deserve the truth.
Well, I wouldn't say we deserve those things because we don't demand those things. So Ron Johnson's calling for whistleblowers. Apparently, even the Senate can't get answers when they ask questions. He said 44 requests for answers around this COVID response and vaccination program. Vaccination in air quotes. He can't get it. But, you know, I was looking at this spending bill. I want to touch on this real quick because today's Friday. Those of you who just got paid, take a look at your federal withholding. And what does it feel like? What does it feel like to be completely helpless about what that money that is snatched from you every payday is used for? I mean, it's really quite stunning to me that 330 million Americans, well, I guess, you know, there's only, I think it's around 155 million taxpayers, offer themselves up like well-behaved puppies showing their belly to the government, pick their pockets, and then have absolutely no control whatsoever of what happens to that money. Most people don't know, they don't care, they just don't want to get in trouble. So they just offer this up again. Founding fathers fought over a teeny tiny, I mean, what the British did to the colonists is what, 2% of what is put on the American people right now. And we pledge allegiance to this monstrosity. This is Joe Biden. He's talking about they've come up with a new tax bill. This is supposedly, I can't remember what ridiculous name they gave it, the inflation fighting bill. The super duper knocking inflation down to zero bill that they're doing, it'll have directly the opposite effect.
The bill would be the most significant legislation in history to tackle the climate crisis and improve our energy security right away. It'll give us a tool to meet the climate goals that are set that we've agreed to.
Who is we? Who is we? I mean, poll after poll, climate change ranks right around 10% of people's concerns. Maybe 10% of the people have been freaked out about climate the same way that 50% of the people were freaked out about COVID. And so I don't know who we. They've set these goals. Now, we know this is a grift. We know it across the board here at WIAB, and really most conservatives are pretty hip to the idea that this climate change stuff is about control and it's about profit. And for all of you on the left who have joined along with the likes of BlackRock, the World Economic Forum, the Davos billionaire crowd, and you think you think you're the resistance out there. You are with the biggest corporations and the billionaire class and these elites in government, and you think you're fighting for the planet. It's really kind of cute. It's really kind of cute for you to think that that you take this stuff seriously. Well, this is Joe Biden said they've agreed to this big spending bill. And again, it's the helplessness of the American people who just have their pockets picked. What, I mean, look at your federal withholding today. Can you think of something better to do with your money than to facilitate Joe Biden's green society ideas? Maybe you could pay a bill, pay down your student loans. I mean, I would say, if given enough time, you could come up with 10,000 things you would rather do with that money from your paycheck than hand it over to Joe Biden. And it's just a drop in the bucket, you understand. If they left you alone and let you keep that couple of $100 they stole from you this past pay period, they wouldn't even miss it. And if they did miss it, they'd just print it up. That's what they do. I mean, this is so egregious. And yet, even the biggest freedom fighters out there are not talking. You know what they're saying? oh, if we take back the House and the Senate in 2022, maybe they'll cut our taxes by 2%. This is the answer for even the most hardcore patriots I know.
Cutting emissions and accelerating clean energy, a huge step forward.
Huge.
Fourth, this bill requires the largest corporations to begin to pay toward their fair share in taxes by putting in place a 15% corporate minimum tax.
Now, I'll do a little economics. I told you this is a bit of an economic show. If a corporation was paying zero taxes, and I think that's wrong, I do believe that there is some constitutional basis for a corporate tax. There is no constitutional basis for an individual income tax whatsoever, in my opinion. But if a corporation is forced, let's just say they were paying 4%. Because, you know, they donate to the politicals, to the politicians. The politicians create tax laws where they put in loopholes for these corporations that donate to Congress. So let's just say they have a 4% tax rate. Now they are faced with a minimum 15%. So they've got 11% more of their profits they're going to have to pay taxes on. Do you think they're just going to go, oh, dang, that's going to hurt our profits. I guess we'll just eat that. What are they going to do? What are they going to do to mitigate this new tax on every corporation should this thing go into effect? And I don't even care. I don't even know. They're going to tack this into the prices of every good and service they sell. They've got an obligation to shareholders to maximize their profitability. They're not just going to go, wow, crap. Well, we got away with not paying taxes for a bunch of years now, but now I guess we're just going to have to dip in and take that 15% out and pay it out of our pocket. No, they're not. Corporations don't pay taxes. The people pay corporate taxes. They're baked into the cake of every product you get. So what Joe Biden has just signed is something guaranteed to raise prices. For any of these corporations that have not been paying taxes, you're going to pay those taxes now. And this is in the guise of an inflation fighting bill. We'll finish on this when we come back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
I got so fired up about the ongoing crime against humanity with these shots that I didn't leave myself enough time to cover this spending bill. First of all, you don't ever solve inflation by more government spending. You actually exacerbate the problem, but never underestimate the stupidity of the American people, particularly those on the left, who believe that these are, air quotes here in the studio, investments designed to bring down inflation. There's so much in this bill to hate, I did not leave myself near enough time to cover it. But I'll read a little bit out of it. Older and lower income Americans could benefit, as well as some electric vehicle companies and green energy companies. Out-of-pocket drug costs for recipients of Medicare, the U.S. health insurance for seniors and the disabled, would be capped at $2,000 a year, and vaccines for seniors would be available for free, according to a summary of the bill. You know, I mentioned yesterday that I thought this trend towards not having children, and more on that next hour, may reduce our incentive, you know, our long-term thinking to try to leave a country for our kids. But I also mentioned that that doesn't appear to be the case now. To you seniors out there, you're looting our country. Now, I know you voted R every single time. You have been religiously dependable to show up at the polls and push that button by whatever carbon cutout of a Republican Mississippi has offered you to go to the federal government. And look where we are. Now, look, I take responsibility for I'm a Gen Xer. We've been horrible. I've apologized, literally apologized to my children for what my generation and the generations before me have done to their generation. And I think that's appropriate. But now seniors, your cost will be capped at $2,000 a year. You'll have a couple of nickels to rub together, and that money's just going to be transferred over to the Treasury to be charged to your grandchildren. Vote real hard in November. Vote real hard. Medicare, Social Security, prescription drugs. The older generations right now, my generation included, have looted the place. Absolutely looted the place. This bill also includes a $4,000 tax credit for used electric vehicles for lower-income people, and new tax credits and grants for automakers to retool factories to build greener cars. As I said, there is enough in this bill to hate that I need to probably dedicate an entire show to it, but what difference does it make at this point? Oh my God, did I just quote Hillary Clinton? I mean, this is just another nail in the coffin, but we're about there. We're insolvent as a nation. And the senior citizens, you know, the thing about it is senior citizens are pandered to because they're so reliable to go to the polls. So it is the older generations that have been, they've been looting the place. I know I paid my dues. I'm just getting my money back. No, you didn't. They stole your money. They told you to your face, we're raiding the Social Security Trust Fund. We're taking out your money. We're putting some IOUs in there. You didn't say boo. It's my generation, too. I'm not just throwing stones. Ugh, this is a sick, sick bill. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday. I've got two segments that I finish every Friday with. One is taking a look at American foreign policy, the disaster, the psychopaths running the show in Washington, D.C., what they've gotten us involved in, and how dishonest they are. This is something I don't know is well received on conservative radio, but I believe people are more open to it now than they used to be as they see the military-industrial complex right now sending off all the old surplus stuff to Ukraine, letting it get blown up so that they can replace it with brand new stuff. We now have an $850 billion Pentagon budget. This is an organization that cannot pass an audit, that has made tens of trillions, that's with the T, tens of trillions of dollars of adjustments. They really can't figure out where this money's going. Again, back to take a look at the federal withholding in your paychecks today. So conservatives seem to be waking up a tad to this, but until I start hearing people boo to a Roger Wicker or Cindy Hyde Smith, we're getting the military everything they need, huge military budgets. When I hear a Republican audience start booing that, then I'll believe that your minds have been changed. So anyway, until then, I soldier on with False Flag Friday here. The Libertarian Party put out a tweet. While the Uniparty plans new schemes of foreign invasion, we call for the return of all, capitalized, all U.S. soldiers from overseas bases and theaters. The military exists to protect citizens, not to expand the American empire. Could not agree with them more. Okay, I'm about to get into something. It's foreign policy related. It's war related. It's probably not going to be popular. But I found this so egregious and so gross. And I'm pretty alone on this. I've already had this conversation individually with a couple of people. This is in the money trumps everything category. And this is this weekend, apparently, is when they are kicking off the new, is it Live or Live Golf Tour? I don't know. The Live Golf Tour? Now, this is the Saudi-run operation. And yesterday, apparently, former President Donald Trump teed off with this new Saudi golf tour. Here's some of the headlines and a little bit of story about it. Former President Donald Trump told ESPN, see, he's getting some heat from the 9/11 families who know that their family members were murdered by the Saudi Arabians as they sat in their offices. Now, I believe there's a lot involved in what took place on 9/11, but the only country, now, this is just weird about me. I will admit it. It must be weird about me because I'm the only person that talks about this. We have lost thousands of U.S. troops to death. We've had hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops that we stand with the troops. We've had hundreds of thousands of them injured in this war on terror. And I am the only one that seems to find it odd that we've gone into countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, rattled sabers with Iran. We've done all of these things. The only country we haven't touched, as a matter of fact, we still support them. We got 3,000 of our sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters over protecting the kingdom of Saud right now, protecting their pipelines. The only country actually implicated at the governmental level was Saudi Arabia. And I, for some reason, something's broken in my brain, and the only person who wonders, how come we went to all these other countries and we didn't do anything or even express any displeasure with the country that was actually implicated in funding the attacks on 9/11? See, I find that weird. And it feels to me weird, because I guess I'm a weirdo. It feels to me weird that it's not weird to anybody else. I understand the leverage that Saudi Arabia has on us with oil and the petrodollar. Well, I get that. But you don't benefit from the petrodollar, do you? Have you been to the gas pumps lately? I told you the other day, Saudi Arabia is contemplating. MBS, the prince over there, he wants to build a 75-mile-long building. One building, actually it's two buildings running parallel to each other, 1,600 feet tall, 75 miles long. They are just awash in cash over there. Think about that when you're at the pump if you think the Saudis are your great friends. Well, they are great friends to somebody. Now, while the 9/11 victims are very upset about this Saudi-backed golf confab, former President Donald Trump is thrilled to death with it. Former President Donald Trump told ESPN that, quote, nobody's gotten to the bottom of 9/11. As he defended his decision to host the Saudi-backed LIV golf series at Bedminster Course. Trump defended his decision as he faces outrage from the families of 9/11 victims. He told ESPN the tournament Saudi sponsors, quote, have been friends of mine for a long time. He boosted the series in as an alternative to the PGA, saying, quote, nobody would have ever known there was going to be a gold rush like this. It's almost like money. It's almost like money matters more than this government's involvement in murdering 3,000 U.S. citizens and kicking off the wars that have led to thousands of U.S. troops dying and tens of thousands of them being injured. Nobody would have ever known there was going to be a gold rush like this. That's what Donald Trump said about the Saudi-backed golf tour. This is your America First president. If you're not familiar with Saudi Arabia's involvement in 9/11. Most people aren't, because it's not on the media and it's not on conservative talk radio. So FBI agents investigating Saudi ties to 9/11 discovered a troubling set of phone calls among Saudi embassy and consulate officials, an extremist American cleric, and a Saudi agent in San Diego. Calls that took place in the weeks leading up to the first two hijackers' arrival in Los Angeles and while they were settling in. The timing raises suspicions of a premeditated scheme to shepherd the hijackers into American life, and some of the call participants personally did just that. The phone links are described across thousands of pages of FBI documents released between September 2021 and April 2022. Many of the documents are from Operation Encore, an FBI investigation of Saudi government ties to the 9/11 plotters. Given their unfamiliarity with the United States and its language, it seems certain these first two hijackers on U.S. soil would have indeed needed help from people already in the country. That came, and phone records suggest it was prearranged, facilitated and supervised by Saudi government officials. Now, we're not talking about just some Saudis who were radical jihadists, just some outliers out there, some rich mad men in Saudi Arabia that were mad at us on religious grounds. Now, this is the Saudi government, employees and an intelligence asset. Mindar and Hazmi arrived in Los Angeles in January of 2000, soon after one of the men involved in the flurry of phone calls, Omar al-Bayoumi, met the two, invited them to move to San Diego, and facilitated their renting of an apartment and other facets of becoming situated in the United States. 2017 FBI document declared that, quote, recent source information confirmed that al-Bayoumi was, at the time of the 9/11 attacks, employed as a paid co-optee of Saudi Arabian intelligence services. A 2006 document says he later proved provided, quote, substantial financial support, unquote, to a Kurdish Salafist group formed by Al-Qaeda and Taliban members. This is Trump's. This is Trump's quote on this. Quote, this is Donald Trump. Quote, nobody's gotten to the bottom of 9/11, unfortunately, and they should have. Huh. I mean, if only he had been president for 4 years. If only he had had some sway in the government and could have maybe affected some kind of an investigation into Saudi involvement in 9/11. If only he'd been given that opportunity. Oh, wait. He went on to say, as to the maniacs that did that horrible thing to our city, to the country, to the world. So nobody's really been there, but I can tell you that there are a lot of really great people that are out here today, and we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to celebrate. Money's going to charity, a lot of money's going to charity, and you have really the best players in the world. Now, I've asked a couple of Trump supporters about this. They don't care. They don't. This weird blank stare comes across their face as their brain freezes trying to figure out a way to make this okay. I'll be honest with you, it looks physically painful to try to figure out in your brain, how do I carry water for Donald Trump here while he actually talks about his great friends, the Saudis, the ones responsible for attacking the United States on 9/11, along with other people. They were just like the muscle. They were the muscle. They're also, you know, they pick our pockets with OPEC. They are currently doing deals that threaten the U.S. dollar's dominance in the world. They're doing deals with Russia. They're doing deals with China. They have no allegiance to us, even though we are helping them murder people in Yemen as we speak. Even as we are sending 3,000 of our troops over there to protect them because of the war in Yemen right now, 3,000 U.S. troops are stationed in Saudi Arabia protecting the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, even though they're the ones that attacked us on 9/11. And I've watched Trump supporters hear the story. They don't care. They tell me something about the PGA snubbed him at some time. So it's okay that the America First president jumps right into bed. And as he said, nobody could have imagined there'd be a gold rush like this. I cannot imagine selling my soul to the guy that sold his soul to the Saudis for a few more bucks. Good luck with that. Dark Horse Press is announcing that there was a large explosion in our quaint little city of Flora out here in Mississippi. There's no more details on that, except there was an explosion this morning at 8 o'clock in the morning that required sheriff's department, emergency vehicles, fire department, and helicopters, but I don't have any other details on that. I'm sure we'll talk about that as we come up on the air later on today as news and details emerge from that. So that's a scary thing. It looks serene to me at our little pocket of Flora here, so hopefully everybody is okay. This was a fun little story. I have included the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell into False Flag Friday because I have yet to see, and I've been talking about this, how long has this been going on now? A couple of years? Every story you ever see about Ghislaine Maxwell, it's an old photo. We've seen no pictures of her, no mugshots, no pictures in court. Oh, some cartoon drawings. No actual pictures of her coming and going. None on her movements between different places. There's not a current picture of Ghislaine Maxwell that I can find anywhere. I've looked and I've requested. If anybody's got a current picture of Ghislaine Maxwell in custody, I would love to see it because as far as I'm concerned, this stinks. And it makes me feel like she's not in custody. Although the tale keeps emerging, convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell has been moved to a low security federal prison in Florida, which offers a number of amenities, including yoga and movies, to serve out her 20-year prison sentence. The Federal Bureau of Prisons lists Maxwell 60 at the Federal Correctional Institute in Tallahassee, which is described on its website as a, quote, low-security federal correctional institution with a detention center. So looks like Ghislaine Maxwell is moving to Club Fed. Very nice. This is while Julian Assange continues to rot in a maximum security prison in the UK because he was persecuted, prosecuted, and threatened with murder and kidnapping by Mike Pompeo and the Trump administration. But Ghislaine Maxwell getting a little bit back to the lap of luxury if she is even in custody. And that's a pretty wild conspiracy theory, because there's been so much news around her arrest and her trial. But I got to tell you, not a single picture seems weird, and not a single John. All news stories about how Ghislaine Maxwell groomed young underage girls for Jeffrey Epstein and Jeffrey Epstein alone. Even though the entire world knows that there is a client list out there somewhere, the whole operation was wired for video and sound. It was known to be an intelligence operation run by Israeli Mossad. Israeli Mossad. This is from one of Trump's own cabinet people who said, what was his name, Alexander Acosta. He said he was told at the time when he gave Jeffrey Epstein a little slap on the wrist, back in, what was that, 2005, 2006, he said, I was told to leave him alone. He's an intelligence asset. So the CIA and Israeli Mossad were actually participating in running underage girls and delivering them up to elite pedophiles to get compromising information on the people who were availing themselves of the services. The intelligence agencies weren't interested in compromising 12-year-old girls. You understand that, right? When Alexander Acosta, who became your labor secretary under Trump, when he says, I was told to leave them alone, they were intelligence assets, it was not because they wanted to compromise and blackmail 12-year-old girls. Yet none of the client list has been released either. So this whole story stinks to high heaven. I may have to take a trip to Tallahassee, see if I can do an in-person prison visit. I'd like to lay eyes on this woman. I'll make sure I... did they not even bother to pay somebody a big amount of money or drug somebody and convince them to be a body double for Ghislaine and actually give us a dog and pony show? They're just going to, out of whole cloth, make up stories about what this woman's doing and where she is. Oh, boy. The military, the big foreign policy thing right now is military making plans in case Pelosi travels to Taiwan. Boy, I got to tell you, I am anti-war here. Unabashedly, admittedly, self-describing anti-war. This is where most conservatives won't go because they believe militarism is patriotism. I am anti-war. Pro-self-defense, though. Very pro-self-defense. I love the fact a good military can protect this country. But I'm anti-war, particularly these expansionist wars. I cannot imagine a bigger tragedy that would befall planet Earth than if Nancy Pelosi, if a war was started over this woman. Now, it's interesting to me, there's a lot of conservative hawks out there on China. This is really where I part company with some people that I really like on the right. Steve Bannon, I think, is just such an uber hawk on China. If you're following any of the financial news out of China, they're a basket case. Their economy, they've got mortgage stuff going on over there right now, could take down the whole place. Just chill out a little bit. We don't need to face off with them militarily. The defense industries appreciate your support of that, though. This is another hot point around the world where they know they'll just make billions and billions of dollars if they can drag Americans into further confrontation, not only with Russia, but also with China, to add to the rest of them. But it's interesting to me, Nancy Pelosi seems to be provoking the Chinese. Now, do the Chinese own Nancy Pelosi or not? Do they own Biden or not? It's very interesting because we've got some real problems with our relationship with China right now. I keep being told that China has bought out the Democratic Party. I don't necessarily deny that. I think they'll take money from anywhere they can get. Democrat Party, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, as corrupt as they come. But it seems like Nancy Pelosi being very belligerent. But I'll tell you what right now. If you are in the military right now and you are asked to respond to either protect Nancy Pelosi or just call in sick that day. I cannot imagine a bigger waste to start military conflict with a world superpower than over Nancy Pelosi's visit. She may just be doing this out of attention. And then also the little chips thing. They just gave $50 billion for the chip manufacturers. A lot of them are housed on Taiwan. There may be some connections there as well. That bastion of democracy Ukraine has started banning different people that they just call Russian propagandists. This is on the heels of that bastion of democracy, Ukraine, that banned opposition parties. I mean, this Ukrainian government is known to be one of the top four most corrupt countries in the entire world, known to have Nazis within the government, known to have Nazi brigades within the military, known to have been trying to ethnically cleanse certain parts of his country of his ethnic Russians, and it's known to have abolished its opposition parties. And yet this is the country we're flying a flag on our social media pages for. You might as well be putting up a Pol Pot flag on your Facebook account for all of the humanitarian desires that you have. They have now banned, they published a list of politicians, academics, and activists that are promoting Russian propaganda, including Senator Rand Paul, Tulsi Gabbard, former Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. Glenn Greenwald is on this list as well. So they are coming after anybody who is not pandering to Ukraine in the story of this underdog democracy there fighting off the poor Russians. And I guess I'll play this real quick, just to lighten the mood before we head into this week on the crazy train. Somebody put out this advertisement, as the military goes woke. I talked about this a couple of days ago. Dennis Prager has finally lost his faith in the medical community because they've gone woke. I pointed out the fact this medical community has been responsible for a lot of problems for a lot of decades. I'm not sure why wokeness was the final straw, but that's okay. I'll take it. This was just a funny one. The other people that are going woke are the military-industrial complex. They're going woke as well. This guy put out a pretty funny video on it.
Picture this. Innocent people in the Middle East. They're having dinner. A bomb is dropped on their house. And they're all killed. What's the problem with this? It's being done by white men. I am Jeremy Kaufman, the Chief Diversity Officer at Halliburton and candidate for United States Senate. It is time to diversify the murderous military-industrial complex. We need to make the nukes gay. And that's why I'm running for office. Like my fellow Democrats and Republicans, I will support every war. I will support stealing billions of dollars from Americans to kill innocent people. But we are going to make it so gay. It will go down in the history books. We will say never have so many genders and so many races killed innocent people. Let's bomb Yemen. But let's make sure a rainbow of skin colors are dropping those bombs. These are going to be the gayest, transest murders the United States has ever performed. That's what I stand for as the Chief Diversity Officer at Halliburton. And that's what I'll do once elected to the United States Senate. I'm Jeremy Kaufman, and I'm gay for this message.
So there you go. There is a lot of truth in that. I'll be right back. What's your frequency? Can it be sharp and so dream? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. As we finish the show every Friday, we chronicle the world's descent into madness with a segment we call This Week on the Crazy Train. All aboard! Now, I don't think anything got more insane for me this week anyway than just watching with amazement as we had people come out and tell us with a negative GDP print for the second quarter that we were not really in a recession. They're actually redefining. Ran across a clip. I didn't have a chance to research it before I came on. I just saw it this morning that Wikipedia has gone in and redefined what a recession is and then locked the account so nobody can go in and make any changes. I'll have to verify that. That is hearsay at the moment, but would not at all be surprising. But it's interesting I wanted to say another thing about this that I haven't really mentioned when it comes to these recession numbers. They're understating the recession, too, as well, because they're understating inflation. Understand how the inflation calculation works, or how the GDP number works. They take the amount of production here in the United States, goods and services, they tally it all up, they figure out what the growth rate is, and then they subtract the inflation rate to give you the true growth or contraction of the society. So in this particular case, what I guess is they found that the economy grew at 8.2%. 8.2% more was spent on goods and services, but then they had to subtract out the 9.1% official inflation rate, and that gave them the negative 0.9 for the second quarter. But what if inflation is understated? As we've talked about many times on this show, the calculation has been changed for it. It is roughly always double if you were to calculate it in the way they did during the 1980s and early 1990s before it was changed. It's actually double. So if they calculated everything up and figured out that the growth was 8.2%, but they had to take out the actual inflation rate, that means the economy would have contracted at somewhere around 10%. So it's just something worth thinking about. But it is insane that in a time where we have seen the technical definition of a recession emerge, the media and the White House is out busy telling you, no, don't believe your lying eyes.
And releases its much-anticipated report revealing whether America's economy is in a recession, depending who you ask. The report could show America's gross domestic product in the negative for a second consecutive quarter. Some economists say that's technically a recession. But the White House disagrees, highlighting areas of strength.
And by some economists, they mean every economist since 1955.
Including job growth.
The way that we see is that we are not currently in a recession or a pre-recession.
It comes after the Federal...
Wow, not even in a pre-recession.
...Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 0.75 percentage point yesterday, the fourth rate hike this year.
This is just right up my alley on crazy train. I mean, something that is just right in front of our face. They just these are not the droids you're looking for.
A common definition of recession is two negative quarters of GDP growth. Or at least that's something that's been true in past recessions. When we've seen that, there has usually been a recession. And many economists expect second quarter GDP to be negative. First quarter GDP was negative. So we could see that happen, and that will be closely watched. But I do want to emphasize what a recession really means is a broad-based contraction in the economy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even if that number is negative, we are not in a recession now. And I would, you know, warn that we should be not characterizing that as a recession.
I understand that, but you're splitting hairs. I mean, if the technical definition is two quarters of contraction, you're saying that's not a recession?
That's not the That's not the technical definition.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, the words don't mean anything. This is our current Federal Reserve Chairman.
We're not trying to have a recession, and we don't think we have to. We think that there's a path for us to be able to bring inflation down while sustaining a strong labor market.
The Federal Reserve's move follows consumer prices shooting up more than 9% in June compared to last year. KPMG chief economist Diane Swonk.
How does making things more expensive bring prices down?
Well, that is exactly, unfortunately, how you bring prices down.
Wait,
is
what?
By increasing the cost of doing business.
When does that mean I can stop paying $12 for a loaf of bread?
We just need to raise prices to beat the high prices. Raise the cost of doing business. That'll bring prices down. You know it's bad when Wally World can't even make any money.
This morning, Walmart is raising fears about inflation in America, lowering its profit outlook for the rest of the year, saying prices on food and gas are forcing shoppers to cut back on general items, particularly clothing, which carry higher profit margins. Shares of Walmart fell 10% yesterday. The company's former CEO says Walmart's move to lower its profit outlook mid-quarter is rare.
I know we did it once when I was there, and I've been gone for a long time, so... an inter-period warning like that is very uncommon for Walmart.
This is also on the heels of McDonald's saying they can't sell their $10 combos that everybody's going for the value menus. But remember, we are not in a recession. Of course, it could get worse. You want to talk about how out of touch these people in Washington, D.C. are? Now, I understand this is a misreading of something. I don't know if it's teleprompter. I think it's in her notebook. This is that Abdul-Jabbar woman who is the spokesperson for the White House. She's misreading something, but the fact she doesn't catch this immediately says a lot about how out of touch the people in Washington, D.C. are.
Around 40,000 gas stations across more than 36 states now offering gas at $39.99 per gallon or less.
Wait, what? How much?
Around 40,000 gas stations across more than 36 states now offering gas at $39.99 per gallon or less.
$39.99 a gallon. Well, I don't know. I think there's more gas stations than just 40,000 offering it for less than $40 a gallon. Hopefully she's not not giving us a preview of what's coming next. This was a gross story. I don't care how you look at it, crime or the clergy. Either way, it's a gross story.
Back now with a New York pastor robbed at gunpoint in the middle of his live stream Sunday sermon. Three masked gunmen barge into the church and made off with $400,000 worth of jewelry from Bishop Lamour Whitehead and his wife. Now, Whitehead did not appear to be harmed. He later defended his flashy lifestyle, saying it's his prerogative to buy what he wants if he works hard for it.
Good God. The brazen daytime robbery of a pastor while he's preaching. What's worse, that or the fact that he was wearing $400,000 worth of jewelry as he preached to his congregation that's floating the bill for all that stuff? This is certainly qualifies for this week on the crazy train.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he plans to speak with his Russian counterpart soon for the first time since the start of Russia's war in Ukraine. But Blinken says it will not be a negotiation about Ukraine. Instead, Blinken says he will encourage Russia to release, as he puts it, wrongfully held Americans, including basketball star Brittany Griner.
Yeah, so our Secretary of State is going over to Russia to plead for the release of wrongfully detained the WNBA basketball star because she committed a crime that the United States itself locks up 374,000 Americans every year for the exact same crime. When Russia does it, it's wrongfully detained. When we do it, it's law and order. There's also some pretty funny stories out there. The Washington, D.C. mayor, she is one of these horrific Democrat leaders of a Democrat-run city that's falling in on itself, and she's really upset with busloads of migrants arriving from Texas to the nation's capital. D.C. has reportedly reached a tipping point after just 4,000 of them, causing Mayor Muriel Bowser to request that the D.C. National Guard be activated indefinitely to help with the situation. What's more, she wants to use the D.C. Armory as a processing center. So she is not happy about the influx of migrants coming into Washington, D.C. This goes in the category of you can't make that stuff up. I'll be right back.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment of the week. We're going to put another one in the books. Before I go, though, let me remind you, if you are looking to get fantastic food, take a night out, or bring food home, make sure you check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. It is 10 and 14-inch brick oven-fired pizzas made the way you want them, right in front of you. Or you can phone in an order or order it on their app. They also offer pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beers, and wines. Lots of TVs if you want to catch a sporting event. And this is a veteran-owned, locally-owned business. Make sure you download the YourPie app. You can order directly off that. But as you are going to go there many times, people love the food there, you will get bonus points for every purchase that you make. Get all kinds of freebies for pizzas, pastas, gelatos, all kinds of good stuff. They also have specials during the course of the week. They got a Thirsty Thursday, $3.14 beers. They do offer discounts for a Warrior Wednesday. Military gets 15% off because this is a veteran-owned business. This is locally-owned, veteran-owned business, Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. Please check them out if you have not already. If you've already been there, I'm sure you're already going back. So they're 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, Your Pie Pizza Express, your inner pizza. All right, let's finish up here. We can't do a week on the crazy train without craziness around COVID. one of the districts with a million people in China has now gone on full lockdown again because of, anyone? Four asymptomatic COVID cases. Four asymptomatic cases. People tested positive for COVID. They've locked down 1 million people in Wuhan. Really, what they need is just more of those shots, right? The shots work great. Australia, I don't know what their total is, but they are one of the best about taking the shots into their lives. Problem for one of the Australian airlines, though, strangely.
Cancellation rates are not where we want them to be. And why is that?
This is Qantas Airlines.
And it's simply because of the high sickness that the entire country and our industry is seeing. Our pilot sickness with our 73s as an example, our 737 pilots, is double what it was pre-COVID.
Now that's so strange because all of them got the shots. They were forced to. How could it possibly be so sick?
Our cabin crew levels are 40% higher.
That's so strange. Isn't that so strange? So strange. Everybody in Australia, everybody for these airlines, forced to get the shot. Now they're canceling flights because everybody is so sick. It just doesn't seem to make sense. This is an interesting one. It's a better video than it is audio, but the audio is actually pretty good. There was a debate. You know, Boris Johnson is out in England, and so they're jockeying for position among the Conservative Party. And they had a debate recently, and you will hear in the background, this is a weird one, somebody just passes out.
The UK government has said it will stand with Ukraine till the end. How do you keep people on side? How do you keep people with you when they are suffering and things are likely to get worse?
Well, the cost of not doing anything to stand up to Vladimir Putin is immense. If he succeeds in Ukraine, he's not going to stop there. He's going to challenge the freedom and democracy. Oh my God.
Huh. I mean, you know, every debate I've ever seen, people just randomly just pass out. That was a full-on crash. You can tell. When you can hear an audio of somebody passing out, of course, we have no idea what caused it. We wouldn't want to infer anything here. I definitely wanted to get to this one. I didn't ever play the clip. Not only are they trying to redefine words like recession, they're also trying their darndest to rewrite history, too. Anthony Fauci among the worst of those. But God love the internet. They can find quotes then and now. This was Anthony Fauci trying to explain to somebody now that he never said anything about locking things down. That wasn't his idea. And then someone juxtaposes that with him saying exactly the opposite. This is a beautiful one.
I wonder if you would recommend locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
Well, you know, again, it's first of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down. You're asking me questions. You're talking about the CDC is the public health agency that uses their epidemiologists and their science-based approach to make recommendations.
Now, this is his quote. This is a quote from, I think, a year ago.
The decision to make a recommendation to the president. It wasn't my decision that I could implement. And when it became clear that when we had community spread in the country with a few cases of community spread, this was way before there was a major explosion like we saw in the Northeastern Corridor driven by New York City metropolitan area, I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
So there you go. I never recommended anything. And then he said, I recommended shutting the country down. As I said, you would think the internet would make people more accountable. For some reason, it has not had that effect. This was just kind of a funny one. Isn't Bruce Springsteen, wasn't he known as kind of the working class hero? Wasn't he the blue collar rocker, the guy that came from Asbury Park in New Jersey? Not so much anymore.
And some Bruce Springsteen fans are unhappy with ticket prices for his upcoming tour. Ticketmaster's so-called dynamic pricing for some has seats going for as much as $5,000. Most tickets are averaging $200 to $300, but they are much harder to get. Springsteen hits the road next year.
$5,000 for a ticket to see that working class hero. You got to love that. Stephen Colbert had Robert Downey Jr. On his show. They were promoting something that many of us, particularly WYAB listeners, have probably heard us talk about for a while. You know, they're coming after you eating meat. They want to replace that with another food source. And Robert Downey Jr. went on with Stephen Colbert to kind of pump it up, make it hip and cool.
It's incredibly comfortable. Now, what is this? This looks like I could make cocoa with this. What is?
Right.
What is that?
Well, that's an insect-based premium protein. It's made from Molitor, which is mealworm larvae. The company is called Insect. This is Infras. This is for fertilizer. Mm-hmm. And as you have there, this is a powder derived from the mealworm, and it's a insect protein just been approved by the EU.
Woo-hoo!
For human consumption.
You're not just getting me to eat dirt, are you?
No, man. I wouldn't play you, bro. We're like one entity now.
If this is protein, it's essentially tasteless. It's just a protein supplement.
Exactly.
I could put this in a smoothie or something.
I'm telling you, yep. And they'll be making all kinds of stuff out of it. And by the way, it is the making of it is severely reducing the amount of emissions it takes. It is a innovation, Justin. We're doing something incorrectly. If we make this switch, it's a huge, huge intervention.
That's right. All the cool kids, they're doing it all. They're all eating bugs. I had a clip I didn't have with me. They're finding that there's a lot of parasites attached to eating insects. So, you know, there's that little thing. I guess that's about all the time I've got today. Oh, I had so much more, but I'll save some of it for next week. There is never a lack of stuff going on in this world that makes absolutely no logical sense, so I've got plenty of material each and every Friday. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.